hey, Joe Casaboni here, and I'm just letting you know that How I Built It is now Streamlined Solopreneur. So if you're seeing new artwork and a new name in your podcast player, that is expected and by design. The new name better reflects the mission and really what has been the mission of this show for the last few years, and I'm really excited about it. All the links in the show notes and howibuilt.it will still work, but the show also has a new home over at streamlined.fm if you want to check it out. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 104 of How I Built It. Today, I get to talk to Kim Gierstad of Mail Poet. And we cover a little bit of a different topic today. We're not just talking about how Mail Poet was built. We're talking about how Kim and his team has been able to build a really great remote company culture. Working for both non-remote and remote companies within the past 6, 7, 10 years, I can tell you that building a culture among remote workers, fully remote workers, is a lot harder. You don't see those people every day. You don't get to go to lunch with those people. You don't get a lot of FaceTime. And so Kim offers a lot of really great advice on how to build a remote team, where to find remote workers, and some of the tools that they use to make sure that the ship is running smoothly. So this is a really great episode. And it piggybacks pretty nicely off of a couple of weeks ago when I talked to Liam Martin from Time Doctor about making sure that, you know, your remote teams are tracking time and productivity in the right way. Kim has a different philosophy on tracking time, as you'll hear in this episode. But still, there's a lot of really, really great advice, especially as more and more teams move to a remote philosophy. So we'll get into all of that in a minute, but I do want to tell you about our sponsors for today's episode. The first is Pantheon. You'll hear about them later in the show. The second is Creator Courses. So WordPress 5.0 is an inevitability, and there's a lot of concerns around how is the new editor going to work? How should I talk to my clients about the new editor? What do I need to do to make sure their site doesn't crash during this very important holiday season? Well, the courses over at creatorcourses.com will help you. There's one just for users. So if you just want to know how the new editor works, you could take that very affordably. There's one for freelancers to communicate all of those changes to your clients. And there's one for theme developers. If you go to creatorcourses.com/Gutenberg, you can see all of the offerings there. And as an added bonus, you can use the code BUILDIT for a discount. Again, that's creatorcourses.com/Gutenberg. Well, with that out of the way, I think there's only one thing left to do. So on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of How I Built It, the podcast that asks, how did you build that? Today, my guest is Kim Gierstad, co-founder of Mail Poet. Kim, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
I am fantastic. As we record this, it's Labor Day here in the United States. It's a beautiful day, and it's pretty relaxed because a lot of people are not working. I'm enjoying being able to catch up on some of the more clerical things of the business. Let's see. So where are you based now? Just out of curiosity.
So I'm based myself in southern France, but we have a team of almost 12 people, and we're spread around either Europe or Eastern Coast US.
Very nice. And that is, I asked that because the exact topic of today's show is kind of building a remote team and exactly what goes into that. But Kim, why don't you first tell us about who you are and what you do?
So I co-founded a plugin for newsletters for WordPress 7 years ago in 2011, and we've been running the same one plugin ever since. So that's what we do.
Nice. So that's like that plugin is the thing that powers your business and you being able to hire 12 employees and things like that.
Correct.
That's incredible. So just to kind of set the stage, MailPoet is a plugin that is essentially you build your newsletter within the WordPress dashboard. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. I like to say it's like a MailChimp in WordPress for those who are less familiar with WordPress.
Nice. I like that a lot. So you create your content and then you can build your newsletter directly from the same interface, which is nice if you like to send out mailings of like your own posts and things like that, right?
Correct. Yes.
Cool. Very cool. And so as you mentioned, you have a team of 12 that is completely remote. So generally I ask like, how did you come up with the idea or what research did you do? But, in this case, I want to ask, what made you decide to, have a remote team as opposed to a team kind of all in the same place?
Right. So, we didn't invent the model, right? So when we started out, back in 2011, et cetera, in throughout those years, there were already other people experiencing that. And the first, I mean, the most known was Automattic themselves. And, Automattic sort of set the stage for all other, smaller companies in the WordPress community. So I had previously worked in a remote sort of setting as a consultant. And when we started MailPoet, we were four people and we didn't live in the same city. And so we started, it was sort of in the DNA. We started as a remote team.
Nice, nice. And that's actually a really good point, right? Because we're talking 2011 here. I worked for... I had just gotten a job at the university, and throughout my time there, I tried to convince them to let me work remotely at least part time, and it was a tough sell. They essentially did not let me. In 2011, the idea of a remote team was not nearly as widespread as it is today. Automattic kind of set the stage. So, it's in your DNA. Did you feel like you were kind of taking a risk by doing it, by like bucking the trend and saying like, you know, I'm hiring people who are not necessarily in the same room as me?
Right. It was, it got a little more complicated, not in the hiring process per se, because you can hire anyone. So the pool of talent you can reach is suddenly a lot wider. So it wasn't in the hiring per se, and people do look for jobs in a remote environment. So this said, it's... the challenge wasn't there. It was mostly like, okay, how can we scale a team in a remote environment? So, I mean, we're still only 12 people, like Automattic is hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. Still at a smaller scale, it gets complicated. So there is things to put in place in order to sort of fill the gaps that are missing in a remote environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely stuff that I really want to touch on, because that's I worked for a remote team before going full time on my own, and that was one of the things that was tough. You know, how do we, for example, how do you onboard a new employee? But first, so you started off as a team of four people. When did you make your first hire?
I guess it was within after 12 months, so it was relatively quickly, or within the first year, yeah.
Nice, very nice. And you mentioned that having a remote team was in your DNA because all of the four co-founders or the four people who started the company were remote. But what kind of research did you do to make sure that you do it right? Right? Because I mean, like I can hire, say, a contractor here in the United States. And I just pay them and I send them a 1099 or whatever, or they send me a 1099. Or if I hire somebody in my state, easy peasy, you know, you just fill out the employment form and the taxes are all the same. But there's a lot of difference, especially because you have a multinational company, right? Essentially.
Yeah, right. The contractual, we have contracts at MailPoet today, but originally we were just hiring essentially freelancers, but on a full-time basis. So it would say, okay, let's hire you as a freelance, but since you're a full-time and we want you to be full-time, then we'll give you all the benefits of being a full-time employee, which would be like vacation, not working on weekends, et cetera, et cetera. You start building sort of like, okay, you're building a real job for someone. It's just contractually, it's still just a freelance. So today we have written contracts, but I mean, even before we didn't really need to have them. Yeah. Mm. So it's pretty like it's not that difficult. People who are mostly afraid of the contract, you know, of like you know, people that have jobs and that need to switch to this environment, they're like, well, what kind of contracts? When are you going to pay me? What is the legal? Is it legally binding? You know. So one way to comfort new arrivals is to say, well, here's a contract at MailPoet. Or my remote company, and everyone gets the same contract. So, and you can talk to the, your future coworkers and confirm this. So,
wow. Well, first, right there, you can talk to your coworkers about the contract. That's generally something that's discouraged in a, well, let's say a traditional on location work environment, right? You're not really supposed to talk about salary or benefits and stuff like that because you don't. You don't want to cause mutiny among the employees.
Right. So you, yeah, in a remote environment, you sort of have to bet on transparency and full full faith in being fair, right? So we've kind of got inspired by Buffer. So, for example, our compensation grid is public with, well, internally public, so everyone knows how much I earn, all the other colleagues earn. So there is, Buffer is really, has Buffer's blog has really, has been an eye-opener for many of us. And I strongly recommend just to look into it. They call it the open blog, which is like the open company. So everything is transparent there. They're going full force transparent. We've gone pretty much that direction, except we're not completely transparent with the outer pub, sort of the RU customers or outer public. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Pantheon. WordPress 5.0 and the new editor Gutenberg are coming. Are you prepared? Do you want to learn about the changes in advance? Pantheon has gathered resources to help you prepare, including webinars and tutorials. Pantheon also has made it easy and free to try Gutenberg with your site before the official launch. Visit pantheon.io/Gutenberg. Let them know that How I Built It sent you. And now, back to the show. I guess another question about this, which I feel is kind of different in the WordPress community especially, but do you have a hard time being that transparent? You know, the open source community generally is, but other more traditional or old hat industries are like, no, you can't know anything that we're doing. That's crazy. We have to keep it all, you know, close to the chest.
Right. I think the switch, the initial, now I haven't spoken, I've a few entrepreneurs have called me in the past in the networks I'm in here in France to ask me questions about remote offices. And of course, when it comes to remote offices, horizontality comes to mind, right? So I think more of the switch to more classical environments, etc., has to be done not as has to be these little changes within the DNA and say, okay, well, we're vouching for transparency, we're vouching for, you know, a complete freedom of information. You know, if you chat with someone, chat on a public channel, don't chat on a, you know. So these kinds of tips and tricks, you know, we don't have a choice in remote because information is always in silos, right? So you're fighting that silo all the time. You want to break those down. So you have to sort of overflow. You have to make all chats public all the time and let people pick what they want to read, you know? So,
Yeah, that's, I want to touch on two really good points there, right? You know, even in a traditional office, you try to combat the information silos, right? But it's maybe a little bit easier when your coworker can walk across the hall to you and say, hey, I have a question. you see silos in maybe different areas of a department. Maybe all the programmers get together and there's one silo, and then the project managers get together and there's one silo. It's really easy in a company of 12 to have 12 silos, right? Because everybody's by themselves.
Yeah. Slack has these weekly stats. So that just say like how many conversations were like in public channels and how many were in direct channels. And for example, this week I saw that the previous week we had 25% of our conversations were in public channels. And I thought, hey, well, that's unusual because usually it's more like over half our conversations are public, you know, so it was something about last week that was more like, you know, in secrecy maybe, or just people don't want to, you know, add noise in channels for nothing. So, but generally speaking, I'd say half of our conversations or more are public.
That's great. And that's a very cool feature of Slack too. We would get, monthly reports when I was at Crowd Favorite. One of the C-level officers would say like, hey, this month, this many chats were private, this many were public. Let's try to be better about that. And the other thing you mentioned was with remote offices, you look at a more horizontal organization, right? So that's talking about the org chart, right? So again, traditionally, like when I was at the university, I reported to my assistant director reported to the director reported to the VP who reported to the president. Who then reported to the board of directors. But with more remote teams, you see, I mean, that was like a 5-level deep chart and I was like a senior developer, right? So you see less of that, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we're still a very small organization, right? So at 12, we're not big enough to have, let's say, two teams of engineers, you know? When I say by too big, I mean, usually, you know, it's kind of like the model, the management model that Google sort of enshrined, where if, you know, all teams should be maximum 8 people and all of these teams should have a team leader. And if you look at more of like holacracy theories, you know, where each group sort of elects its own focal points for the outside, you know. I mean, we're kind of looking at those and we're saying, yeah, okay, we're fairly horizontal. They say we're kind of small, you know. We don't yet have a second team of engineers. We do have like a DevOps, you know, that's sort of on the outside, but we're not that big enough yet, yeah.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. So I do want to change gears here a little bit because you did talk about, how can we scale a team? And there are some inherent difficulties with scaling a remote team. A lot of people say the lifeblood of a small company is the culture, right? So I want to ask you about the culture and then kind of the onboarding and training. How do you build culture at MailPoet?
Building culture in a remote environment is really by the way you act online, like the way you act in Slack, your behavior on a day-to-day basis. So we've, in the past, wrote some values down of what we sort of think are the correct values that we share within the team. This said, at the end of the day, we're more into, okay, well, it's nice to have them on the wall, right? But just apply it to them day-to-day, you know? So be helpful, be collaborative, share the, you know, don't hide information, for example. So yeah, that's how we've approached it. Yeah.
Gotcha. And as far as, getting FaceTime or your employees getting to know one another, do you encourage, like video calls? Do you have team calls or anything like that to get everybody in a room or do you think that Slack does a good job of that?
No, it's that's the hard part. We need to meet face to face. So we meet once a year on an annual meetup or annual trip. Now, is that sufficient? We feel it's not. Maybe it should be once every 9 months. What else? Because we don't, during the week, we don't really have conference calls all that much. We do have sort of one, we do have some one-on-ones between, let's say, one of the project managers and some of the colleagues. We do encourage those things, but then we don't have stand-ups or we don't have conf calls. So there is a bit of like loneliness or a lack of, you know, getting to know each other or space for that. I know some other teams, and we did one last week just to try it, but I know some other remote teams do a happy hour. Like they'll do on Friday, they'll just like anyone comes into Zoom or a Hangout and just starts like just to hang out basically.
Huh. That's pretty interesting. I haven't heard that before, but that sounds pretty neat. But I'm sure that maybe one of the difficulties, right, is you mentioned that you have employees, you're in France, you have some folks on the East Coast of the United States. And then did you said Eastern United States and Europe mostly, right? So like Western Europe?
Yeah, actually I should correct that because it's the Midwest. We have someone in the Midwest. Yeah, most, we basically don't hire people on the West Coast or in Asia, Australia, et cetera. It's just too far. We need to have a few hours of overlap in order to, you know, properly function. So the person in the Midwest, she does really wake up early every morning. So, but she used to work for an Australian company, so she was kind of used to that, right?
So. Gotcha. Yeah. So that was probably a big improvement. I should say that as a born and raised New Yorker, basically anything west of New York and east of California is considered the Midwest to me. So just like anything that's not the coast is the Midwest. okay. So that's cool. So I guess one of the, this will be the last thing we kind of talk about culture, but you want to make sure that you have overlapping time zones with your employees, right? Because that can be really hard. When I was at Crowd Favorite, we had people in the US and we had people in Romania. And we had like a couple of hours in the morning, but you know, somebody maybe in Australia was out of luck if their counterpart was on the West Coast of the US or maybe the East Coast of the US. So cool, very cool. And so the other thing that we that you mentioned about, you know, answering the question, how can you scale a team? What came to mind was onboarding, because I've kind of seen it at both ends. In a traditional company, I basically like went around to everybody's office and they taught me something about the job. And then in a remote environment, I had like one-on-ones with certain people in the company, but I feel like there was a lot more on-the-job training. So how do you kind of mitigate that?
Right. Onboarding is, what basically we do is we have, there's just the actual day setup, which is just creating all the accounts, but then quickly it becomes, a new person has to, set up a Skype or Hangout or Zoom talk with each of the colleagues, right? Mm-hmm. Then the new arrival needs to write like a top 10, like, you know, a top 10 of things about themselves, you know, it can be quirky or impersonal or it can be just professional. And then depending on the position, then we have just like sessions, either like sessions of working together let's share the screen and then let's just work together. So that's how we do it on a remote environment, you know. So, and then the project managers or whoever's taking, you know, overseeing that person, then just make sure that the it's going well, you know. So onboarding is pretty, I think the main point is that the main aspect is that new person really needs to Skype everyone, at least in a team of 12, it's doable, right? So at least have one physical kind of contact other than Slack. So,
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that a lot because it really, I mean, when I record these shows, I like to do face-to-face, even though it's an audio-only podcast, because, you know, I feel like I have a stronger connection with my guest. So you mentioned, you know, Skype or Zoom and Slack and provision accounts. Do you have a set of recommended tools that you use to help kind of manage remote teams?
Well, we really use sort of the usual suspects, right? So it'll be like Google Docs, Trello. At MailPoet, we use Jira to manage the software development aspects with GitHub for versioning. What else do we use that is specific? Or no, that's pretty much it. There's no specific tool per se. Sometimes we wish there were other sort of like, there's a new tool we started using called Velocity, but that's more for seeing the performance and productivity of the devs. So it goes in, it plugs into GitHub and gives you sort of a dashboard where you can see how your colleagues are doing, if there's being slowed down, et cetera, et cetera. But apart from that, there isn't more than that, no.
Gotcha. But actually, you touch on a really good point there too, right? Because it's hard to measure productivity for a remote team. Especially if you're in different time zones or you're not there. You know, I had a boss who wanted me to be in the office so he or she could check up on me, essentially, to make sure I was doing my work, which is crazy because it's easy to fake doing work in front of a computer. But I guess the point of that is do you do things like time tracking, or do you feel like that's kind of burdensome for your team? Is Velocity sufficient?
Oh, yeah, we don't. No, we don't track. We don't track any hours per se. It really goes against the philosophy. You know, people who show up at work, and if they're just, you know, if they're motivated just by their presence, it's a wrong place to work. We kind of see the people, what are people motivated by, right? They're not motivated by being there or being watched over, et cetera. They're being motivated by what they're learning. The responsibilities they're getting, the collaboration they have with their colleagues, how that current job fits in their career, or at least what the perspective of their career might be at that moment, the salary, the conditions, you know. So when we look at MailPoet, we look at these different aspects when we discuss with someone their happiness at work, right? So
nice. So what do you think is the best way to gauge motivation? Is it the one-on-ones that you mentioned earlier?
One-on-one is a critical, in a remote environment, one-on-ones are critical. I don't do them myself as often, but there's another person, one of my colleagues does them as well. So, but they're critical. They are the sort of the critical lifeline, at least to know what's going on. And also maybe fight loneliness, you know. So loneliness and lack of communication or lack of feeling part of something are the problems in the remote office.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned information silos before, but working remotely can make you feel like you're in almost a literal silo because it could be lonely.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Mm.
Today's episode is brought to you by Pantheon. WordPress 5.0 and the new editor, Gutenberg, are coming. Are you prepared? Do you want to learn about the changes in advance? Pantheon has gathered resources to help you prepare, including webinars and tutorials. Pantheon also has made it easy and free to try Gutenberg with your site before the official launch. Visit pantheon.io/Gutenberg. Let them know that How I Built It sent you. And now, back to the show. Well, we covered a lot of ground, but I know that kind of in the pre-show, we were talking about several other topics. Is there Is there advice about remote teams that we didn't cover here?
Well, there is one topic I have in mind, which is hiring. So if you want to hire or you want to be hired for a remote team, so I would so weworkremotely.com is the main job board for jobs in for remote businesses, and there is plenty there. Also, if you get a profile on the name escapes me now, the startup hub, I will remember it. And then there is, we found out that if you, of course, the best way to hire developers is word to mouth or personal recommendations. But if you want a great place to hire is Stack Overflow. And so when people that are not actually searching for jobs, but they're looking, you know, developers that are looking for answers, they go and find answers on Stack Overflow, and they're on the right column, you can have your job position there, you know? Now, being in that spot is quite expensive. Last time I checked, it was, I think, 5,000 grand. But,
wow.
But it does save you quite a bit of time. You basically, it's kind of like hiring a headhunter, where somebody is not looking for a job, and then suddenly, oh, there he is. He's poking at your job description. So, and remote jobs are, remote is a keyword that's very attractive for anyone in the workforce. So that's definitely one place to that's actually the only sort of two places where we post jobs in the past have been those two. We work remotely and Stack Overflow.
Nice. Very nice. We work remotely. That's the job boards from the guys over at Basecamp, right? Formerly 37 Signals.
Yeah. Actually, the job board was sold to another group recently. So they don't take care. I think it was last year it was sold. And so it doesn't belong to them anymore. But that is originally theirs. Yes.
Yep. And I'm going to link to that in the show notes. And also the book by the same guy is called Remote. Which is all about working remotely.
Yeah, correct. I Matt Mullenweg has spoken recently about remote environments as well. So if I think either on his blog or elsewhere in podcasts, he mentions the challenges of remote. And being such a large company, they're a bit at the forefront of it. So he's definitely got some interesting sort of perspectives on it. Yeah,
absolutely. I will try to track down that link and put that in the show notes as well. So generally at this point, I like to ask two questions. One is about kind of what are your plans for the future? But I think in lieu of that one, I want to ask if there's a job, particularly in our field, you feel is not suitable for remote work, right? I was going to say any job, but like a construction job clearly is not suitable for remote work. But do you think there's a job in maybe the a computer-based field that's not suitable for remote work?
For me, I think the hardest one in our team is, at least in my eyes, but it's product management. Product management requires talking to people all the time, right? So if you have an idea for the product, you want to validate it with the support team. You want to check it out with the devs. If you have somebody in marketing or in growth hacking, you have to talk to them as well. So it's kind of like bringing all the different groups or the different parts of the team together and having a conversation, but you can't, you're in this remote environment. So you need to sort of interview people. So it's kind of that part of, that part is a little difficult. It's a pain. So we to tell you, we're changing at MailPoet. We're just changing a bit, and we're saying, okay, well, since it's so mean the other, another person that does product, we decided just to like slot like, okay, 1 hour like every day we just discuss, you know, we pick up the phone and we just discuss all the items, you know. So
nice. That's a really good answer.
more phone conversations for the product managers.
Yeah. The project managers, I guess the kind of equivalent in client services, at my remote job, their calendars were just constantly full of meetings. And I used to think like, how do they get anything done? And I'm like, this is where they're getting their entire job done. I think that's a fantastic answer. The last question I like to ask is, do you have any trade secrets for us?
As in like, we don't really have any. We've been meaning to work with, to match MailPoet to work with WooCommerce for a while. We just never really got around to it so much, but it looks like we might be finally getting out of our busy periods because we were working hard on onboarding. And now we're looking into WooCommerce right now. So this will be sort of the next step for us. I've been talking about this for a while, so maybe I'm jinxing it again, but anyway, hopefully we're going to get there. So
nice. A little what's coming, a little secret, what's coming down the pike for MailPoet. I like that. Kim, thanks so much for joining me today. Where can people find you?
It's pretty easy. Kim@mailpoet.com.
Nice. Cool. I will link that in the show notes as well. This was fantastic. If you are thinking about really good advice, if you're thinking about starting a remote team, or if you're thinking about taking the leap and becoming a remote worker, I think there's a lot of good advice there for both folks. So, Kim, thanks again for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Pleasure's all mine.
Thanks so much to Kim for joining me today. I really appreciate his time and his insight on building a good remote team, building a good company culture. I really love what he said about needing to meet face-to-face and how they try to meet every 9 months or so, maybe every year, every 9 months, to make sure that you get that face time with your coworkers, right? Because that's important in building a bond and building trust and things like that. I just loved this conversation. So thanks again to our sponsors, Pantheon and Creator Courses. Both are providing fantastic resources for Gutenberg and WordPress 5.0. My question of the week for you is, if you run a company, do you do it fully remote, or do you have people that are basically in the same town or city that you are? Or if you are employed or looking for employment, how important is a remote position to you? Either way, let me know by emailing me, joe@howibuilt.it, or on Twitter @jcasabona. If you want to discuss this stuff with other listeners of the podcast, you can join the Facebook group over at howibuilt.it/Facebook. For these things and all of the show notes, you can go to howibuilt.it/104. If you liked this episode, you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It truly helps people discover us. And as we start to wrap up season 5 here, this is the second to last episode, interview episode at least, I am just ecstatic with the growth that this show has seen over the past 6 months. I've hit a few really important milestones, and if all goes well by the end of this year, I will hit another one. So thanks so much for your support and for listening. And until next time, get out there and build something.